Marcone's stare went on for several seconds before he said, "Somewhere in Mexico." "That's as specific as you can be."
"It's as much as I know," I said.
"For what purpose was she brought there?"
"Why does it matter?"
"If she was taken to be used as a sexual object, she would be in a different place than if she was going to be used as slave labor or harvested as an organ donor." I clenched my teeth and looked away briefly, treated to a number of delightful images by his words. Marcone's eyes narrowed. "Who is she to you, Dresden?"
"My client's kid," I said, struggling to keep my voice level and calm. "I think they're going to use her in some sort of sacrificial ritual."
"Then that narrows things considerably," Marcone said.
"As I understand the process, rituals, such as the one you mention, need to happen at a place of power."
He glanced up at Miss Gard, who nodded and immediately left the restaurant, heading for her car.
"I suspect I can narrow it down even further for you, Dresden. Let's talk price."
"I'm going to use the information to put a major hurting on the people trying to take your territory away from you, Marcone," I said. "That's more than payment enough."
"And if I do not agree?" Marcone asked.
"Then we throw down, right here. And after I toss your attack dogs over the top of the Sears building, I hurt you until you give me the information anyway."
That cold smile returned.
"Is that how you think it would happen?"
I shrugged a shoulder and kept my expression bland.
"I think there's only one way to find out."
I leaned forward a little and pitched my voice in a conspiratorial murmur.
"But just between you and me, I don't think the terrain favors you here."
He stared across his steepled fingers at me for a time, then he said,
"It certainly doesn't favor me in the manner I would prefer."
He laid his hands flat on the table and leaned back slightly.
"There's no sense in making a confrontation out of this, and I have never yet regretted it when I allowed you to rid me of an enemy."
"I didn't do it as a favor to you,"
he shrugged. "Your motivations are immaterial. The results are what matter."
"Just remember that you're on my list, Marcone. Soon as I get done with all the other evils in this town, you won't be the lesser of them anymore."
Marcone stared at me with half-lidded eyes and said,
"Eek.
You think it's funny?"
"I'm not unduly concerned by dead men, Dresden."
I bristled.
"Is that a threat?"
"Hardly.
One day, probably soon, you'll get yourself killed, thanks to that set of irrational compulsions you call a conscience, long before my name tops your list."
"I needn't lift a finger," he shrugged.
"Giving you information seems an excellent way to accelerate that process. It will also tax the resources of my enemies."
Marcone mused for a moment and then said,
"And I believe I have no objection to contributing against any organization which would victimize children so."
I glowered at him, partly because he was probably right, and partly because he'd once again shown the flash of humanity that prevented me from lumping him in with every other evil, hungry, predatory thing lurking in the wild world. For his own reasons, Marcone would go to extreme lengths to help and protect children. In Chicago, any adult was fair game for his businesses. Any child was off limits. Rumor had it that he had vanished every single one of his employees who had ever crossed that line. Gard reappeared, frowning, and walked over to our table. Marcone glanced at her.
"Well?"
Gard hesitated and then said,
"He won't speak of it over the line. He says that you have incurred no debt with him for asking the question. He will only speak to Dresden, personally."
Marcone lifted his eyebrows.
"Interesting."
"I thought so," Gard said.
"Ahem," I said. "Who wants to meet me?"
"My employer," Gard said.
"Donar Vaderung, CEO of Monarch Securities.